Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Turn to Psalms 145. Praise the name of the Lord. How many like your tree? We might as well be in Texas. Whatever we do, we like to do it big. That's a big tree. I like big trees. Psalms 145. You should have seen us trying to put the top on that sucker with no ladder. It was interesting. We had a table and a step stool on top of a table. And I'm like, we put the bottom part together, and then I got up on there and lifted it up and dropped it in the hole, and then there was still the top part. And I was going to try to put that on, and my daughter says, "Get down off that table, I'll do it myself." So she got up there. She's lighter than me, so she did a pretty good job. She got it up in there. But anyway, that was a task. Anyway, Psalms 145. Man, God is so good. He says, "I will exalt you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever." Everybody say forever.
Forever.
Notice he didn't just say on Sundays. "I'll bless your name forever. Every day, I'll bless you, and I'll praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation will praise your works." Everybody say your works. One generation will praise your works. Notice it doesn't say your doctrine, your theology. It says your works. To another. What verse am I on anyway? Four, thank you. "And shall declare your mighty acts." Verse 5, "On the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wonderful works I will meditate." You see a theme going here? His wonderful works, his acts. "Men will speak of the power of your awesome acts." Everybody say awesome.
Awesome.
Now say it like you mean it. Awesome.
Awesome.
"And I'll tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant," what? Well, wait a minute. Maybe we should change that word, because maybe it's supposed to be a different word. Maybe it should be sovereignty. How's that? Is that better? No. Y'all supposed to say no.
No.
No. It says goodness for a reason. Because his goodness is what men need to see. They don't want to see some sellout of saying, "Well, God's sovereign, he can do what he wants." They want to see his goodness. It says, "Men will speak of your power, your awesome acts," in verse 4, "and I'll tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory." They'll eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness. "And will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord, gracious and merciful, will slow to anger and great in loving kindness." We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. That's actually repeated a number of times in the Old Testament. It was first told to Moses by God himself when he passed before him. Do you remember that? He said, "Show me your goodness. Show me your glory." And God said, "I'm going to show you your goodness." And then he passed before him and he repeated those words. That is the revelation of who God is. We need not get confused, especially by what theology and doctrines have said. The revelation of God is he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to some. Is that what it says? He's good to all. Even if they're not a Christian. He's good to all, and his mercies are over all of his works. And then it says into verse 10, it says, "Your godly ones will bless you." How are they going to bless you? Well, verse 11 says, "They'll speak of the glory of your" what? They'll speak of the glory of what they believe. Is that what it says? Now let's speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Everybody say power.
Power.
power. They'll speak of your power. To make known to the sons of men your mighty acts. Do you ever notice we don't do much of this? Do you notice that? In modern Christianity, we don't do much of this. We talk about what we believe. We talk about, the condition of the unbeliever. But we don't talk much about His power and His glory. We don't sing much about His power. We don't brag too much about our daddy's power and His mighty acts. Yet, David, the one who knew Him better than anybody in the Old Covenant, says that what he talked about all the time was I'll speak of the glory of your kingdom, talk of your power, make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generation. That means it endures now. See, this was even before Jesus came, but David saw all of this, and he declared the mighty acts, the mighty power, the mighty works of the Lord. In the coming days in this series on the kingdom of God, I'll tell you what we're going to get into. We're going to get into some things about sonship. And ladies, I'm talking about you too, okay? Don't think I'm just talking to the dudes. I'm talking about sonship. I'm going to show you some things about the love of God that maybe you may haven't seen before. Because the love of God is the nature that you have on the inside of you. God put His nature in you to cause you to be Teflon. Nothing will stick. And so we're going to get into some things. There, we've talked in days gone by about, you being the righteousness of God. But I want to tell you some things in the coming weeks about that. Jesus did that for a reason. Because He needs things not to stick to you. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's kind of hard. He's bigger than me. I used to be a big daddy, and I'm just a little daddy. Anyway, if you would, go to Isaiah. We're going to play a short video this morning, but I want to kind of pick up where we left off. When you're in Isaiah, hold your finger there and go over to 3 John. You got five of them. What are you laughing? You got five fingers. I can pick five more verses, and you got five fingers to hold your places. I won't do that, though. Because I want to reiterate something over in 3 John that we brought up last week. If when you're in 3 John, say, I got it. All right. 3 John, again, remember, says this, the elder to the beloved Gaius, who I love in truth. John says in verse 2, beloved, I pray that you, in all respects, you may, literally what it says in the Greek New Testament is you may be receiving prosperity on an ongoing, constant basis. Even as, and be in health. Actively be in health on an ongoing, constant basis, just as your soul is receiving prosperity on an ongoing, constant basis. Now, I told you this last week. When I came over into what folks call the quote full gospel, and the whole quote spirit filled circles. This is kind of the only verse we ever read in 3 John. I knew this verse. But John brings some things out. You got to read the whole letter, otherwise you'll just make some assumptions regarding what he's saying in verse 2 that are not incorrect, they're just not complete. How many know we need to walk in the complete picture, not just part of it? A guy that walks on part of his legs is only hopping. Right? You don't get very far on one leg. So we need to drop the other one and run. So what he's saying here, he says, my prayer for you is that you be receiving on an ongoing, constant basis prosperity as you're receiving prosperity in your soul, your thought processes, your emotions. And so, you know, when I was in the full gospel circle and I was seeing these verses, predominantly what was being told to me was, you know, you just spend time in the Word, you read the Word, you renew your mind with the Word, and you get your soul gets renewed, your soul gets prospered. And that's not untrue. That is true. I mean, no, that's true. But that's only part of it. John mentions in the rest of the letter here, notice he goes on to say, for I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. Everybody say that. My truth.
My truth.
My truth. Say it again. My truth. Interesting that he says it that way. Because, you know, the world talks about my truth and your truth, right? This is my truth, and let me, you know, this is my truth and that's your truth. And, you know, you can have your truth and I'll walk in my truth. They're onto something, but unfortunately they're running in the wrong circles. Because what he's saying here literally is the truth that you're walking in becomes your truth. How does it become your truth? Well, you keep on reading and you go over to verse 11. He says, beloved, do not imitate, or literally do not be imitating on an ongoing constant basis. And, you know, obviously as a result of that, you're receiving the benefits of your action. Don't be imitating evil, but be imitating what is good. Be imitating what is good. One of these weeks, I'm going to get over into the book of Ephesians. And I thought I knew Ephesians. But there's some things in Ephesians that, when you understand that chapter 6, the armor, is actually the index for the book. And you start looking at the chapters in line with those things, but underlying that, he speaks, having done all, stand. Let me read that verse. Having done all, to stand therefore. Did anybody ever wonder what having done all was? I'll get into it in a couple weeks. Anyway, you can have homework. Just go read it and see if you can pick it up. He says here, don't be imitating what is evil, but what is good. The beloved one, he says, the one who is doing good. Everybody say doing good. Is, now the NASB says of God. It actually, in the Greek New Testament, it's the word ek, which means out of. The one who's doing good is out of God. That means you're an extension of Him. You're out of Him. We talked about Jesus raising from the dead. Okay, that's the same word, ek. It's out from the dead. So he's saying here, the one that's doing good is out of God. Everybody say Father. And the one who is doing evil, it has not seen God. And then verse 12, notice what it says here. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and what's the next phrase? From the truth. Did you know that the truth, you know what you're walking in over there in verse 3? That the truth will testify that it is the truth? That's how it became their truth. They walked in it, and they walked in it, and they walked in it, and they walked in it. And it kept bearing testimony. It kept bearing witness that it was the truth, that it was the truth, that it was the truth. And so it became their truth. You see the cycle there. That's why we can't just, we don't get a prosperous soul just by taking in Scripture and meditating on Scripture. That's part of it. You got to learn how to think like Daddy. But the other part that Daddy has instituted, and you see this in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus didn't just sit the disciples down at a desk and say, okay, boys, every 3 days we're going to come here and we're going to sit in this behind this desk and I'm going to teach you. He didn't do that. He'd take them off, you know, and they'd go under a tree or whatever. But a lot of what they learned it as the truth because they had to walk it out. In Christianity, we've been masters of taking in scriptures and taking in doctrine, and we think we're renewing our minds, and we think we are getting a prosperous soul, but nothing's tried. We don't walk it out. So it never becomes our truth. It becomes the truth of somebody else. It becomes somebody else's testimony. It becomes, you know, something that somebody else does, but He designed for this, for us to walk this out, put the other leg down, walk the truth out, and let it bear testimony to you continuously over and over and over and over and over again that it is the truth. And then it goes from being doctrine and theology to becoming your truth. It becomes you. In other words, what John is saying here, he says, you went from having theology and things that we told you to you became the truth. I want to become the truth. I don't want to just know theology. Because you can know theology and you deceive yourself. You think you're doing good. But all you have is a collection of theology. But when we're actually walking out the truth, and the truth is continually testifying to us that it's the truth, that it's the truth, at some point you go from you're familiar with it to you actually become that, and it's just you. People ask, well, why does the book of Acts look so different than the modern day church? This is the reason. They didn't have all the writings of Paul. They hadn't been written yet in some cases in the book of Acts. But you see what they did. They walked in the truth that they had, that they got from the disciples who got from Jesus. They walked in it and it became them. So now it was no longer just something, well, I just believe. We just demonstrate it, like Psalm 145 said. We talk of His mighty works, and we talk of His mighty acts, and we talk of the goodness of Him. It's not because it's theology to us. We do that because we live it, and we demonstrate it everywhere we go. It's just who we are. It's we've become that truth. The world needs the church to become the truth that God is good. Because we don't just talk about it. We don't just give them a book and say, here, read this. We don't just give them a CD. I love CDs. I love books. But folks, if we use those things as replacements for direct contact, we got a problem. You understand what I'm saying? Those things can be awesome, but if we depend on those things to do the work of the ministry for us, then it actually becomes a crippling agent for us and we never develop. Because we're still only walking in, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, and it hasn't become us yet. Does this make sense? The kingdom of God is not in theology, it's not in word. Paul said it's in power. Well, the only way it's in power is if you let it come out of us. Right? That's becoming the truth. You're the truth, you're not just what you believe. I know, guys. I get it. There's a part of, taking in and renewing our minds, where we do live in that place of, you know, we believe. We believe these things. We believe, but we got to get beyond just believing a collection of teachings, and we have to get to the place where we live in the truth. The truth testifies continually that it is the truth, so it becomes our truth. And when it becomes our truth, it becomes us. It's who we are. It's when we breathe in and out, this is what takes place with us. Wherever we go, we're known for this. You know, I think I've said this in the past. I get the idea of outreach. And we need to do that, but wouldn't it be better just to be everywhere we go? Just to be that everywhere we go. Instead of just, well, you know, once a week or twice a week or whatever, we do this or this or this. Why not develop a culture that is what Christianity is we just be this everywhere we go. We go to the grocery store. We're in the produce aisle. We're picking out vegetables and we're trying to find, you know, tomatoes that are actually orange or whatever the color they are. And they're not spray painted, you know, they're actually ripe. But but you're not so locked into your thing that you don't notice somebody over there that's just standing there staring at the produce. Or we go down, you know, such and such an aisle and we're looking for whatever we're looking for, but we're not just looking for whatever we're looking for. We're paying attention to what's going on around us. Because life's not all about us. Did you know, in Romans when it said that all of creation longs for the manifestation of the sons of God? Do you remember what we talked about that verse? That the word sons there is actually the, it's not the word offspring. It's the word mature one. H-I-O-U-S, we us. It's the one, it's the mature one. Well, in a previous verses above that, it tells you what, a mature one is one that's led by the Spirit of God. Mature ones are ones that are led, they live out of their spirit. So, our goal, and you know, we're all in a different process, but our goal is to go from living out of our minds to going to living out of our spirits, even when we're shopping at the grocery store, even when we go someplace else. Wherever we are, we're living out of our spirit. Because guess what? When you live out of your spirit, it's not about you. Because the nature that God gave you isn't about you. It's about what's going on around you. You getting this? So, what if we developed a culture like John is saying about in 3 John, that we practiced and walked in the truth to the place where the truth became our truth and then it became us? Because it just bared testimony over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, the hardest thing, you know that I'm saying the truth here, the hardest thing is to begin. Right? I remember when I first started my business years and years ago, I actually quit my paycheck job and decided to go full-time in sales. What was I thinking? Because I wasn't a sales guy. When I was a little kid, I used to sell Christmas cards door-to-door, and you know, you try to win those prizes and stuff, you know. And you know, and then they'd come in the coldest part of winter, so you got to deliver all these boxes and freeze your hands off. Anyway, so that was the only sales stuff I ever had experience. And I wasn't a sales guy, but then I kind of felt like I needed to do that, so I quit and I went full time, you know, in sales in this company that somebody else owned. And then one day they say, "I'm gonna sell you the company." Oh, okay. So I bought the company, and I remember the first time that I had to go and do sales. I had to go into somebody's business. And man, I was like, I don't want to do this. And I walked into the business. It was someplace north of Phoenix. It was in Cottonwood or someplace, you know, someplace, some little old shop. And I walked in, and basically my approach was, "You don't want to buy these, do you?" Because honestly, they were pretty ridiculous looking. At the time, that's the stock we had. It was kind of ridiculous looking. But anyway, I had to sell them. So, and he said, "Well, yeah." Oh. So, you know, that was my start in sales. But starting in sales was a big step for me, because I had never done it before, really. You know, I guess knocking on somebody's door and say, "You want to buy some Christmas cards?" And you shove the magazine in their face, you know, is, I guess it kind of is a start. But as an adult, I didn't want to go there, but it was a start. But see, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. We kind of have a choice in our life whether we're going to sit back and observe and read about testimonies of old. You ever notice how Christians love the testimonies of old? You know why? Because we don't have one of our own. I love Smith Wigglesworth, but you know what? Smith Wigglesworth is not here anymore. What about today? Is the future generations going to have to go all the way back to Smith to get a testimony, or can this generation give him some? So, boy, it's kind of quiet in here. I want to make this point. I'm going to show you this video before I forget. We need to understand this. You know, we sang a lot this morning about how God is good. And I think sometimes we take that for granted that, you know, God's good. Yeah, God's good. Amen, God's good. But one thing you're going to notice about even what Moses revealed, you know, it said about Moses that he knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel knew his acts. But I want to take that one step farther. The only way that civilization or men in general are going to know the ways of God is if we demonstrate his acts. That's the only way they're going to know his ways. They know his ways because the church will demonstrate his acts. When the church fails to demonstrate his acts, it creates atheists. Do you hear what I just said? When the church fails to demonstrate the acts of God, then it creates atheists. Because human beings, it's in them. It's innate in them. They want to believe that God is good. But when there is an absence of the goodness of God being demonstrated in the earth, and he's being blamed for everything, civilization is not going to know. They don't know his ways. They'll never know his ways. They have assigned to God all the travesties of the world, especially in insurance policies. It's all assigned to him. All the bad things are assigned to him. Why is that? Because there's been a vacancy and a void and a vacuum. The church has been told that he doesn't do that anymore. It's not what he's all about anymore. So the church doesn't demonstrate his acts and his ways. We stop talking about his power. We stop talking about his goodness in our demonstration of him. And so what does it do? It creates angry people. It creates atheists. I heard it said that, you know, we always talk about all the bad stuff going on and, you know, the disasters and things like that, you know, Katrina and whatever. And, you know, and we say, well, God's judging so-and-so's nation, country, and so-and-so's state and city and blah, blah, blah. And I heard it said, and I thought this was interesting. Jesus said that he told the disciples, whosoever sin you retain is retained, and whoever sin you forgive is forgiven. Right? So what if the scenario is the reason why these places are seeing all of this disaster is because the church is holding their sin to them? It's not really hard to take. It's easy to take, is it? But see, the church has been relegating the responsibility and the blame of all this stuff on somebody else for so long. When we have realized that we are the body of Christ, we are the fullness of him in the earth. We're supposed to be the fullness of him in the earth. So if we are the fullness of him, that means we should be the fullness of his goodness. That means the world and the people in the earth, human beings, natural man, should be on a regular basis experiencing the goodness of God so that they can not only come to know his acts, but then they come to know his ways. And then they become a part of the body, and then they learn how to demonstrate the goodness of God through them, and then it's just a perpetual cycle. And instead of holding the sins of these different cities, San Francisco and New York and all the likes, instead of cursing the darkness and holding their sin to them, why don't we just learn to walk in the love of God and learn how to walk in the forgiveness of God and not hold their sins against them? Because what is it? Jesus said it. Holy Spirit said that the new covenant is God and Father is not holding their sins against them. Right? So how come we do? Because Jesus said, if you retain the sins, they'll be retained. I don't want to be responsible for that. See, that's when we really understand. When we look at people, are we looking at them on the outward, or are we looking at them on the inward? This is why it's got to get to be more than just, well, we believe this, and we believe this, and we believe this, because it hasn't become part of us yet. When Peter says that we have the ability to be a partaker of the divine nature. Do you notice that? Second Peter? You have the divine nature, but you have to choose to be a partaker of it. So it does take renewing our mind with the Word. We need to stay in the Word. How real can I get with you guys? Can I get real? If we're not living here, what's the point? I'm serious. Because, well, see, I'm getting it in future weeks. The word says God is love, right? So when you take in these words, what is it doing to you? The love is washing over you. It's washing over you. It's washing over you. It does something. It makes you impenetrable. If that's a word. If we're not taking this in, and we're not spending time in His presence, see, there's the other side of it. It's a cycle. He loved us, so we love. But what if you don't live in His love? What if you're just living in your own, this is my world? What if you're not living in His love? Then you don't love people. You may tolerate them, you may put up with them, you may like them. You may love them in a human love, but you don't love them from that nature. Because it comes from Him, it's a flow. You live in His love, and it's so overwhelming, it's so magnificent that it affects everything that comes out of you. And then with that, there's no fear. Because there's no fear in that nature. It drives that out. It keeps that out of your thought process. It keeps it out of your... I heard a guy say this one time. It was the most amazing statement. He says, you can't hurt me. You can't offend me. You just can't do it. I was like, wow. Because he's so in flow of the love of God, and it all has to do with sonship. You know, you gals, you say daughtership, whatever. I'm just using the term sonship as a generic term. So our job is to demonstrate Daddy's good. And I told you in Isaiah, you're in Isaiah, right? You got your finger still there? Is it falling asleep yet? Isaiah chapter 9. Remember we talked about these verses. This is actually quoted in, I think it's in the book of Luke, in reference to Jesus. It says in verse chapter 9, in earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt, but later on he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. They shall multiply the nations, they'll increase their gladness, and they'll be glad in your what? In your presence. Say, I'm a carrier of the presence of Jesus. Okay, I'll say that. So if we're a carrier of the presence of Jesus, why do we need to give Him something else instead of just giving Him Jesus? Why do I need to give Him a track? If I'm a carrier of the presence of Jesus. Y'all here today? Do you want to know why there's a difference between the book of Acts and today? Because today we let everything else do the work and we just stand back and watch. It's safer that way. I don't have to touch somebody. I don't have to lay hands on somebody. I don't have to talk. I don't have to know how to live in the Spirit. I don't have to learn how to get anything from my Spirit. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I can be a baby, infant, orphan, sit on the front row of a church and say hallelujah, amen, and I never have to learn how to do anything. I can just hand somebody something. You're stifling your growth. Jesus didn't give the disciples a bunch of tracts and say, here, go pass these out. He said, I want you to learn how to let God flow through you. Am I saying there's something wrong with those things? No. But there is something wrong if, and only you know this, if the reason you do that is because you don't want to do the other. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of that stuff. But when we relegate to doing that instead of the direct connect, we're not allowing the truth to bear witness to us that it's the truth. So we'll never know. So it's never tested. So we stand back here and we never, never, never know whether or not, I wonder if word of knowledge flows through me. Don't really know. I wonder if gifts of the healings will flow through me. I don't really know. And then we come up with stupid doctrines like, well, that's just not my gifting. You better shut your mouth. Have you ever been out there and tested it? Well, no. Then how do you know it's not your gifting? Last I checked, the nervous system of the body flowed through all of the parts. Right? Even to the very tip of the little toe, you got nerves. It's the same nervous system, and it's all hooked to the brain. It's all hooked to the head. It's all hooked to Jesus. Okay, so over here in Isaiah, that was just a slight detour, but you know, it's free. He said, they'll be glad in your presence in verse 3, and men will rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you will break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders. How are you going to do that? With his presence. Say, I'm a carrier of the presence of Jesus. There's a verse somewhere in Isaiah that basically shows you that, well, let's see if I can find it. You step into it first, and then you hear. So many times we want to hear first. But you step into it first, and then you hear. You guys get anything out of this, or am I talking to myself? Well, I'll tell you, I'll play the video and then I'll find it and I'll read it to you. So go ahead and play it.
Let me set the scene. You are sitting in a room with three of the more notorious members of the Chicago Latin Kings, which is one of the largest gangs in America. This one, Sam, is actually a general in the Kings, a major leader in the Chicago chapter. This meeting took 2 months of planning with Robbie Dawkins and our friend Todd White. There were rumors of war starting in Chicago between rival gangs, and this meeting was set up to try and stop it. It didn't take long to see these guys were no joke.
I think that's some punk when you send a little kid here and not go do it yourself. Me, when I was out here in this one, I go do my own shooting. I won't tell him he's a gun or go send him, come here, let's go. Where's the pistols at? Whoever wants to come, he can come, but I'm going to go smoke these up. I ain't got a problem with it.
Yeah.
And I just do shootings all the time by myself. All through these neighborhoods. That's what I grew up in. You know, me and myself, I'm not going to lie. I ain't good. I know that. But I know where my heart lays, you know, and I know that, you know, everybody can change any time, you know.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not you're willing to do so. I'm willing to make mistakes. I'm willing to do damage too, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe God's going to turn that around on me. Maybe he's going to say tomorrow, quit your or else, you know.
I got a question for you. Yeah. You got a daughter?
Yeah, I do.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the Lord showed me. Just said, I felt like it was one of your daughters you were kind of going through a tough time with. And it was really, you were really worried. And that there was just some just difficult things that were happening. But I just felt like the Lord was just saying that how you feel about her is how he feels about you. And how he cares about you. But also, he's got your daughter's back. And there's a big turning coming for her.
One of my daughters getting out of prison in a couple of weeks. Mm. She was a bad heroin addict. And my daughter, so my wife now, ex-wife, told me that I was dead to her. She didn't want nothing to do with me no more and stuff like that. Mm. That's been weighing on my heart a lot. But, you know, I grew up without a father. And, you know, I have to be as tough just like she's being tough with me.
God, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God. Right now, you would just completely just rock his heart in such a way where you'd reveal how much you love him, God. And I also thank you for God for his daughter, the one that's getting out. Yes. I don't know what her name is. What's her name?
Samantha.
Samantha. God, I thank you for Samantha. Because like when you said she was getting out, and what I saw was, first of all, I saw a dancer. I don't know. I saw like her being involved in dance. I saw her like dancing as a little kid, just like being free, just dancing and twirling around. Like I don't know if she took ballet or something when she was little, but I just saw her dancing and being really free.
She was a dance instructor in prison.
Yeah, that's crazy. But like I saw her actually having her own dance school and actually like bringing people into the realization of who they really are through dance, through prophetic dance. It's crazy, man. Dance. But I saw her, and that's her real passion.
Later, as the guys prayed for another friend of theirs who had come, Robbie offered her the opportunity to join in a relationship with God.
We could pray with you, and you could just repeat after me if you like. Jesus, I come to you. And I just give you my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my past. Wash me clean. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be Lord of my life. Rule in me. I thank you for your presence. And I thank you for offering me new life. And I accept your forgiveness and your new life in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I receive your kingdom.
Lord, I receive your
kingdom. Amen. Amen. Damn, I heard you praying, bro. It's the right thing, bro. The right thing. I'm going to tell you guys something. Today, this will change the city. This will change the city. That's why we're here.
2 months later, Sam asked us to meet him at a local park as he had some friends he wanted us to meet. The guy I talked to now was not the same man I had met before.
A new life. Is there a difference? Is there a difference?
Oh, yeah, of course there's a difference.
Can you tell me about that?
Okay, I'm going to tell you the differences between my old life and new life is my old life is I didn't give a rat's about any life at all. I didn't care. I'll take life. You know, I didn't care. I proved it many times where I grew up at. You know, I used to go do shootings where I wouldn't even think about it. I go on love guns and everything. I didn't care. Just at anybody. I'm shooting at houses and putting holes through houses. I don't even know who's in the house. I'm unloading on the whole house. I don't want to know. All I know is there's a known guy in there and I want to get him. Yeah, there's a difference. There is a difference. God is powerful. Spirit I know is definitely with me. I feel him every morning. I know because I'm running around based up with the Christian music. People look at me, dude, you just at the bar. I got my guy in there. He's like, do you have to blast Christian music? I said, you're in my car, right? You don't listen to it, man. You know? And believe me, I run, but came right back. I love you, Jesus Christ. And that's when I know when I'm changed. I know I come back crying. That's when I knew. That's when I knew that, yes, I love you, Jesus. That, just feeling it. Knowing that spirit in me. I didn't feel it over here. When I got this way, close to the end, I felt that. And when you've been alone in a long time, you know where that goodness is. And you know when God's acknowledging you and you name him Jesus Christ, and then you feel that spirit be uplifted, that's when you know. And that spirit is alive. God says he'll send us a comforter. And it's true. There's that comforter, man. You're alone, you'll know that comfort's come. You're alone, you think nobody cares, that comfort is going to be there. And you're going to be like, wow. And you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to love God.
While this is going on, Robbie is over talking to Sam's friends, who are a little skittish and didn't want to be filmed. But then, God rocked them, and they came and told me their story. And as they were leaving, they all gave Robbie their drugs.
So, one of the dudes who with us is around the vicinity. We're not sure if it's heroin or hash, but surrendered it and said he's done with it too. So that's We got two bags of dope right there, baby, for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God, because that's how our God rolls.
Sam is an example of what happens when the Father's light invades a darkened life. And now, the Father was getting ready to show me the full weight of His love in action.
Pretty great, huh? You see that guy? He's over there praying that prayer, all trying to be cool, in the doorway. But did you notice that, you know, that could have been just a natural conversation between some guys in a gang and a bunch of Christians. But did you notice that when the gifts of the Spirit began to flow and the word of knowledge came about his daughter, he looks up and he looks over to the other guy like, what's going on here? What's happening here? Because the God of the universe just demonstrated to him that he knows where he lives. Where did we ever get the idea that we should function outside of that? That's not in a track. It's not in a cassette or a CD or that comes out of you. Go over to Isaiah 49 and we'll close with this. Isaiah 49. Incidentally, again, what does the name Isaiah mean? God is salvation. Isaiah 49, look at verse 6. He says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? Then it goes, I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Now let me just mention this. I mentioned this last week. You can take the prophetic writings that are in the prophets, we call them major or minor prophets. You can take those and you can understand that a lot of them, yes, they're speaking about a nation, they're speaking about a people, and so much of what we read a lot of times we relegate it to when this whole thing is over with. But you have to understand that no matter whether you're looking at it from the standpoint of this is when the new heaven and the new earth is, and it's when it's all over with, you have to understand that whether it's now or whether it's then, all of it is because of the presence of God in the midst of human beings. That's why all these things are said. This is why he's saying these are the results. If you look at all the prophetic things that Isaiah speaks about and what he's seeing, it's all because there's the presence of God among the presence of man. And that's why we see the results that we see. I don't think it's accurate to relegate it all to the sweet by and by in the end when the whole thing's over with. Certainly there are verses that apply to the nation of Israel and we don't want to take away from that, but you have to understand it's not just the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Israel when they embrace their king. Do you understand that? So we're still talking about a time period or an environment, that's a better word, that is the presence of God with the presence of man together. I'm going to move among them. They're going to be my people. I'm going to be their God. But Jesus brought all of that. He brought that environment into the now. When he told the disciples, look, I want you to pray like this. Pray, our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many know that at the right hand of God the Father is the presence of God and the presence of man together? Right? Paul said that in Timothy. At the right hand of God is the man, Christ Jesus. Well, how many know the will of God in heaven is established in the earth already? Because with man, with you, is the presence of God. So you have the presence of God with the presence of man in heaven, and you have the presence of God and the presence of man in the earth. the two are the same. So all of the things that we're reading about in here in Isaiah, they are as a result of the presence of God, that union between the presence of God and the presence of man. So he says here in chapter 49, he says, I also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And then look at the latter part of verse 7. It says, kings will see and arise. Everybody said they'll see. Princes will also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Verse 8. Thus says the Lord. Now this is quoted in 2 Corinthians. Paul quotes this verse. In a favorable time I will answer you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Paul quotes that verse. So let's go stick it in the context. Hold your place here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Stick it in the context of New Covenant, and then we'll come back here and read the rest of the verse. He says, I'm going to make you a light of the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. How is he going to make us a light to the nations so that his salvation will reach to the end of the earth? How is he going to do that? Give us a bunch of stuff to believe? Give us a special theology that's different than somebody else's? And that you need to believe my theology over everybody else because I say? Sounds like I'm being kind of hard, huh? I said 2 Corinthians, right? Did I tell you? Yeah, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, well, look at verse 1. What does that say? Working together with your church. Is that what it says? No, working together with him. How is it going to make us the light of the world? The light of the nations, so that salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. He says, in a favorable time I've answered you, in a day of salvation I've helped you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, in working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the, what? The grace of God in vain. What is the grace of God? It's the working of his power because of his presence. He says, don't receive the working of God's power because of his presence in vain. Because he says in verse 2, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. So in the context of those verses in the Old Testament, we understand that how he's going to make us a light to the nations so that his salvation can reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. It's not giving us tracts. It's not giving us props. It's not giving us tools in a tool bag. It's giving us his presence. Let's learn to live there. Let's learn to move there. Let's learn to have our being there first. Amen? And then look at, going back to Isaiah 49, look at verse 10. And while you're looking at that, I'm just going to remind you further on in 2 Corinthians 6, there's verse 16, he says this, for we are the temple of the living God. So you're a carrier of the presence of Jesus. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and they will be my people. So how is he going to make us a light to the nations? He's going to dwell among us and walk among us. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, and I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to those who are bound, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourself. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on the bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat strike them down. For he has had compassion on them, and will lead them, and will guide them to springs of water. What do you suppose the springs of water are? That which comes from the Spirit of God. How many think this guy Sam experienced the springs of water? How many Christians passed by him and never touched him? There's no way I'm going to talk to that guy. But somebody came to talk to him, and how many know in 2 months planning, you have a lot of time to build up a lot of mental, what am I doing? But yet they came. Why did they come? Because the truth, they became the truth. It wasn't just something they believed. So when we make that transition of, it's just something you believe, your mind plays games because it's only something you believe. It's not been tested. And the testament, the truth has not testified to the fact that it's the truth to you yet. When we do it long enough, and we allow the truth to become our truth, and we become that truth, then no longer do you, it's not an issue of your mind begins to say something secondary to you, because it's you become that truth. That's when you know you're walking as a mature one. Because your mind isn't allowed to go contrary to what's coming out of your spirit. And so they got in the presence of those guys, and what happened? A word of knowledge came. You got a daughter? Well, yeah, I got a daughter. And then the other guy came up and said, God told me your daughter's going to be used in dance. Do you think he knew that she was being used in dance in the prison? No idea. Jesus knew that, though. Rocked that guy's world. Number first, he touched his heart with the thing that was dearest to him, which was his daughter. And then he began to tell him from his perspective what his daughter was going to do with her life. I'll tell you guys, you wait and see. Most everybody in this room, you have absolutely no idea what you look like as the fullness of God. We spend time with our daddy so he can tell us that, show us that, and reveal that to us. But in the process of doing that, he does a love transfusion. When you get that love transfusion and you choose to live there and not in the daily news or not in the daily circumstances, when you continually hook yourself up to that love transfusion, all of a sudden you realize at some point you no longer have things in your head that put up walls and stop you from stepping over into that. And so we just start walking into it like just normal. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. We lay hands on the sick. And we just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. At some point, because we made a decision, we're going to walk in that truth, we're making that truth ours. And then it begins to testify that it is the truth. How many of those two guys in this video, once again, the truth testified that it was the truth? You think that they expected that? Absolutely they expected that, because they've done it so many times. It's just part of the process. This is just what happens. When I talk to somebody, I always know I'm going to get a word of knowledge. Because that's just the way it happens. Don't buy off on all this garbage that, well, that's just not my gift. That's such a crock. It's a crock of... I won't do what he did, but... It's just a crock. I get so, you know, I respond that way. It's so frustrating because people just buy into that stuff. And so they have this mindset that, well, you know, God only uses me certain ways. Then you're not functioning in the grace of God, because the grace of God causes you to be all sufficient in all things and gives you the ability to abound unto every good work. That means in any situation you're in, if you need a word of knowledge, the word of knowledge should be there. If you need gifts of healings, the gifts of healing should be there. All the gifts of the Spirit are for us. God's not the problem. The problem is we got whacked out theology somewhere along the way, and it's messed up our flow. You are wired for the gifts of the Spirit. Because the presence of love is in you. I want you to, you know, The remaining of the series, I want you to do this. And I'm done. I just want to say this. My prayer is that you don't just take this in as a good talk. That you actually begin to spend time with your daddy. Take the word in, but then meditate and see yourself as the fullness of God. And then let's just keep it out of the realm of weird. And just go out and live life. And, you know, if you see somebody that is afflicted, go up and love on them. Get into conversation with them. Keep it casual. You know, just keep it out of the weird. And then just real quick, you know, hey, you know, can I pray for that? Jesus thinks you're amazing. Watch this. And don't get on any long theological prayer. Just you lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. If they don't put it off on the people. We're just learning. I still got a pulse. I'm still going. I'll still learn. I'll just keep doing it. I'll just keep doing it. I guarantee you, if the most you did was walk away from them and you say, you know what? I just want to bless you and say God thinks you're amazing and you're valuable. And have the most awesome day you can have. And thank you for letting me pray for you. I appreciate that. I know it took a lot. If that's the least you do, you've already done 100% more than the last Christian that passed him. And we just stay in the game. Amen? Ain't no big thing. Right? Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you and praise you. Thank you for making us a light to the nations. And thank you that people will see when you come out of us and you begin to love on people. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for those opportunities that we just live life, and they're there all over the place. And we're carry of your blessing, we're carry of your presence, and we just thank you that you're teaching us in the school of the kingdom of God to let it out. And I love you and praise you, and I thank you for your presence in our midst and in our individuals. Every person in this room is blessed. They're blessed and they're a carrier of your presence, and I just thank you for taking us into a stronger and stronger release of that presence out of us. To meet the needs of people. You remember what that prayer said? Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.